shall be for him. We shall be for there's no faith. All of his glory we shall behold him. Behold him. We shall behold him.
We shall behold
him.
Those of you who have followed our messages for some time now, you will know that we preach Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And the Christ Jesus that we preach is not really a man. It's not a man. It's not a man of Hebrew extract. It's not a man that was born of a woman called Mary. So it's not just a human being that we were concerned about or that we preach about. Rather, we preach about the one who inhabits eternity. So we preach something that is actually beyond the comprehension of the man of this age who is really asleep. The man of this age is deep asleep. He's deep asleep in the dust, deep asleep. And when you are deep asleep, you don't even know who you are. You don't know where you come from. You have no clue as to the substance that you are truly made of. And he goes, the man of this world goes around in search of fame, in search of glory. He seeks to increase on every side. He seeks comfort. He seeks peace. And these things seem to elude him continuously. He never seems to come to the place where he can say, I have arrived. And I can assure you that it can never change, that it has been like this for years after years. And you know, it never changes. Over the ages, we've seen people who have come and who have gone with new ideas, new thoughts on how to get out of this dilemma that humanity finds itself in. New self-help books, new preachers, new ideas, new age ideas, new sex, new books. But after going around in circles, they still have to go back to that same stone that they have rejected. That stone which remains the angle stone. It remains the most important stone in that eternal foundation, which is the Christ. Every man must, at the end of the day, revert back to this name Jesus that we preach, which is actually the name of the Son of God, the one who has been from eternity and lives on eternity. In him dwells the fullness of God. In the Son dwells the fullness of God. See, and We know the goodwill of God in this hour. The goodwill of God, the divine workings of God, is to gather every man. Everyone. Whether present in the flesh, whether departed from this world, the will of God, the divine purpose of God, is to gather every man back into that one son, that one body, which is the Son of God, the Christ. Praise God. So that they can partake of that unlimited spiritual blessings that dwells in the Son. So it is written that every spiritual blessing, God has called us and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That is how we can get these blessings that is without limit. Now, those of you who don't read the Bible, who don't know these verses, who are bumping into these messages, I'll quickly go over to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2. Now, this is a letter of Paul to the Ephesians. And let us read these things. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual, or with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with all, every spiritual blessings. See, it's a blessing without limit. He has blessed us with the fullness of God. In Him, that is in Christ, dwells bodily the fullness, the totality of God. So there's no God outside of Jesus. Everything is in that body. And we are gathered onto that body. It's a great privilege. Praise God. It's a great privilege. We must see this thing. Quietly listen to what the Spirit is saying so that we can become partakers in that body by faith, experientially. Because there is an opening right now. An opening that has never been closed. But we call it an opening because right now our eyes are open to see this opening into a new world of bliss, into a new world of pleasures, into a new world of perfect harmony, peace, joy, where you can truly walk in liberty, free from the old, adulterous, lustful nature of the flesh. So we can read volumes and volumes of books and fellowship again and again that, but God will always come back saying that, I want you, my son, to see the mystery of this fellowship. See the mystery. The Father wants every man to see the Son. This is the will of God. Because when you see the Son, you will definitely awaken in the Son. You will awaken to new life. Praise God. Just stay there and contemplate His glory. Just sit there and behold Him. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to try to be good. You don't have to. As you behold Him, you are transformed. There is a change in your mindset, in your thinking. And you become more and more awakened and aware of certain truths about yourself that was all lost, you know, in this dark world. See, you lost all awareness you know, of your true self is like that pearl of great price that was dug underneath the ground, lost. But thank God today we are beginning to rediscover that pearl as you contemplate the glory of God, as you behold the mystery of this body of Christ. Praise God. It's a body that is always there, always present, but men were asleep, deep asleep. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's something that Elisha asked his master before he was taken up into heaven. When we read scriptures like this, we know that they are all pointers to the Christ. See it. Elisha, Elijah, Moses, the laws of Moses, all these things we see in the Old Testament are pointers to the invisible things of God. They are pointers to this mystery of the Son of God, which we call Christ today. Every single thing. And of course, if you go beyond the Bible and you open your eyes to see the elements of this world, the things in the sea, the things on the land, the things in outer space, the things in the galaxies, the things unseen, they are all pointers to this mysterious fellowship of the Son of God. They are all pointers to Christ, the one in whom dwells the fullness of God. There is nothing else apart from the Son. All things are created for Him, by Him, for His good pleasure. Hallelujah! Everything is the Son's. The all glory in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth, the anointing without measure. Everything pertains to the Son of God. And this is the one that we are being educated about today, even as we go from allegory to allegory. Preaching is with signs, with types, everything points to the majesty of the Son of God. They are all pointers to awaken us to the reality of what God is. Now, if we are not seeing the Son of God in the Old Testament, in the things we see around us, we are in darkness. We are in outer darkness. That means the things that we are beholding are presented to us as parables. The inhabitants of this world, those who are in outer darkness, live in relation to parables. Things that are not, they live in relation to shadows. When you see a shadow, you are not seeing the real thing. And that is how this world works in shadow. Those who walk by night and live in the night, which represents spiritual darkness, live by a light that comes from the moon, a reflection from the sun. So actually, the people who live in the night, who live by the moonlight, don't actually get the true direct light. They live by a diluted, a light that has been tampered with, something that is not real, that is not original. That is how the men of this age live. Everything men live in relation to is their idols. They are not real. So you want to exercise yourself to behold the mystery of Christ. Exercise yourself and, you know, listen to what the Spirit is saying in this hour, because the Spirit will only testify about the Christ, nothing else. And when you see it, you will enter into it. Praise God. So back to Elisha. Elisha's master Elijah, the great prophet of old, had asked Elisha his servant, what do you want? What can I give to you? Oh, hallelujah. Everything you ask, I'll give to you. Your wish is my command. Now, what will you ask for if you were Elisha? Of course, we know where the mind will begin to go to. We know where the mind, the natural mind, the carnal mind, goes to. Immediately, it begins to remember the glories of this world. Your wish is my command. It's like that genie out of the bottle. What is your wish? I'll do it for you. Anything you want. Elisha, if you were a carnal man, his mind would have probably gone to the miracles of Elisha. How Elijah was able to multiply flour and oil. Elisha's imagination, if he were a carnal man, would have been how to probably cause his master to multiply that flour and oil a millionfold so that he could sell it in the market and become a millionaire. Praise God. He would have asked his master Elijah, what shall I, something to cause him to increase materially. Something to cause him to increase in comfort. Something to cause him to increase in fame among men. What shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? Now, Jesus Christ asked that question because he too was faced with that temptation. He too was faced with the temptation of abandoning that glory he was beholding ahead of him, the glory of the Father, abandoning that glory for the glories of this world. What shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? This is the way of Adam. Adam was deceived. He wanted to partake of the glories of this material age. To be seen by men, to be honored by men, to be held in reference by men. So Adam left that place of spirituality. He left that original image of God. He slipped away from the invisible realm of God and conformed himself, molded himself according to the wisdom of this age to becoming a man of the dust, a mortal man. And I tell you, you cannot live in two worlds. You cannot, do that and at the same time partake of God's glory. You can't live as a terrestrial man and at the same time live as a spiritual man. Praise God. So there he went. Adam descended. Today, when this question comes to you, what will you ask for? Elisha was wise in this instance because he asked for the double portion of the anointing of his master Elijah. I want that anointing that is working in you. I want that anointing to flow. Oh, praise God. In me. Let's quickly read these things. 2 Kings, this is the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, there's something, these words here, what we just read in 2 Kings chapter 2, are not just, they're more than meet the eyes. There are deep truths here. Because Elisha had just asked for the double portion of the spirit that functioned in Elijah. That's the double portion of the anointing. Praise God. He was asking for that spirit that was functioning in his master Elijah. Oh, praise God. Did it look a bit arrogant? Does it sound a bit heady? Does it sound, you know, out of, how do I put it, too foolish to ask for such a thing? He was trying to ask for even, he was asking even to be greater in terms of anointing, greater than his master. But you can see the attitude of the master, that is Elijah. Elijah was not offended. Elijah did not feel bad that his servant was asking a double portion of the spirit that functioned through him, meaning that he will be stronger, he will be more powerful than his master. Elijah did not refuse the request. All he told him was that if you can see me being taken away, it shall be yours. But this is a lesson to every man. The man of the spirit gives freely. The man of the spirit is not threatened by another person. Freely we receive, freely we give. Jesus Christ said it, that the servant that is well instructed by the master will be as the master. Now, of course, we're speaking about the master of the universe. We're speaking about the Son of God. The one who's instructed by Christ will be as Christ, would be Christ. The one who hears what the Spirit says to the church will sit on the throne as God. So the things of the Spirit are free for every man. Free for everyone. Praise God, hallelujah. Ask what you want and it shall be given. I want the double portion of the anointing. So shall it be for you. Does it sound blasphemous to say you want to be as God? Does it sound blasphemous to say that you are equal with God? Stand your ground in your confession. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who taught it not to robbery to be equal with God. In the things of the Spirit, there's no robbery. All things that are the Father's are ours. And we partake of that one glory of the Father. Amen. So a condition was given to Elisha, and the condition was that if you can see me being taken off, if you can see I, Elijah, being taken up, then your request shall be granted unto you. Then you shall have the double portion of the anointing. That double portion that you seek, you shall have it. And of course, Elijah asks or adds, it is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to see me being taken away. Now, what is he talking about? Was Elisha there to behold a man called Elijah? Was he there to behold a human being? Today, when the Lord says he wants you to see Christ, is he talking about a human being? Does God want you to see a human being called Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of a woman and all that kind of stuff? Of course not. Elisha was to see the true glorified master, Elijah, the one that worked the miracles. His eyes was to be open to see the power that walked behind Elijah in the days of his ministry. His eyes were beginning to be open to behold that mystery which today we call Christ. If you can just see that this mystery, your request, your desire for the double anointing, double portion of the anointing shall be yours. Praise God. Of course, very few people can see this mystery. Because seeing this mystery will require sacrifice. It requires discipline. It requires stillness. It requires perseverance. Praise God. This same Elisha who will behold his master being taken up had left all behind on the other side of the river. You see, the Jordan, that river Jordan represents death. Those on the other side of the river represent the inhabitants of this world who are asleep in mortality. Elisha had said bye-bye to his family. He had dissociated himself with all ties in the flesh. He had let go of what? Of the old. Because he had seen the glory that was to follow. He had left his business. He was a farmer, he had his oxen, he had left all that the moment he received the call. You can't be down there entangled with these things and at the same time contemplate the glory of God which shines from the face of Jesus. So as you receive the call, patiently loosen yourself from the outer world and cross over to the other side, to the dimension of God. Along the way, you will meet temptation of men. Elisha, along the way, met with the prophets of 50s who tried to manipulate him, try to, tamper with his vision. Of course, the word came, the tempting words came. Do you want to tarry here? You want to tarry in Bethel or you want to tarry in Jericho? Are you satisfied with that little revelation you have? And you want to tabernacle there? Are you satisfied with that preacher? Or that messenger who brought the message to you and you want to tabernacle there? Elisha resisted all these entreaties. He resisted all these voices, these temptations, contradictory voices from the men of religion, from the systems of religion and the systems of men that tried to obscure, his view of that vision that he was heading for. He had one goal from the moment he left his father's house. And his goal was to inherit that double portion of the anointing. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Today that call is being handed out to the men of this age. Follow me. Follow me. Peter heard the call. James, John heard the call and they left everything. They left their fishing nets. They left all that they had to follow the leading, the guidance of God. Follow me in the regeneration. Follow me into newness of life. Follow me and I will give you the crown of life, the anointing without measure. It's great, isn't it? It's wonderful. Glory be to God for this exceptional love with which he has showered upon us, wherewith we can comprehend, we can hear this voice today and leave the vanities of this age to be partakers of the glory of God. So the charge to Elisha from his master Elijah was, if you can just see me, if you can just be still and with the eyes of your understanding see me, with your inner ears of comprehension comprehend what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit will only testify of that glorious body of Christ. And as you see it, there is a dissolving of the elements. As you see it, the world, the elements of this world begin to melt away. They begin to be dissolved, hallelujah, by that fervent heat of his presence. The world is that consciousness you put on in Adam when you sense yourself as separate and apart from God. That is the world. The world is that state of consciousness in which the men of this age working, where they are ignorant of this mystery of the Son, the invisible Son of God. Jesus Christ says, the world has not known you, Father, neither has it known me. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Eternal life is to know the Son and the Father. That is eternal life. Eternal life is to know the mystery of the Son. That is eternal life. And that life here is not just talking about, just, we're talking of the anointing of God, the life of God, without measure, the fullness of God. It's in knowing the Son and the Father. It's all about comprehending the mystery. Praise God. That's why we are all being brought forward today before the judgment seat of God. We are brought of Christ. We are brought for today to see the same spectacle that Elisha saw, so that these old things pass away as you behold these things. Hallelujah. The psalmist says, Psalm chapter 17, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall awake. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. As we behold this, the face, as we behold, contemplate the mystery of the Christ, there is an awakening in newness of life. New life, hallelujah. There's an awakening in that life of God. Precious, sweet life. Oh, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. So let us lay aside all our burdens, all these weights. See, let us not be entangled with the things of this world. Of course, to some extent, we must have to interact to get the body going and all that kind of stuff. But let us not be yoked with unbelievers. Let us not be yoked with this world. Let us stand alone in the spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Elisha had come to the place where he was alone. Every man must stand alone. And when every man stands alone and contemplates his glory, we shall all discover ourselves together. It's not a man-made effort. So it's not all about trying to gather people under yourself or under you, or trying to establish a system of religion. It does not work that way. See, when Jesus Christ will preach go about preaching, and you know, at times he normally, you know, turn back some people who try to follow him. Why did he do this? He tried to tell them, you go the other way and preach to that city and tell them what the Lord has done. Why did he do that? He's trying to say there is no point gathering in the flesh. There is no point. Our union is in the spirit. It's in the body of Christ. Praise God. So, the master Elijah was about to be taken up. And here we have the, you know, Elisha watching. Watchfulness. You have to be watchful. Praise God. Those who are not watchful are asleep in the thick of the night. When men are asleep, you have to be watchful. Watchful, at times you might be lonely. At times your family members don't seem to see what you are saying. Your friends don't seem to see what they are saying. But can you be watchful? Be watchful, hallelujah. The message to the church in Sardis: be watchful. Remember how you have heard. What have you heard? You have heard from the Spirit testifying about Christ, the body of Christ, about the things of the Spirit. Remember those things and be watchful. Let your eyes be stayed on the things of the Spirit. Don't be carried away with the vanities of this age. But be watchful. In the night, be watchful. So when you are watchful, that is when impartation comes into you. While the disciples slept at the Garden of Gethsemane, they all slept because it was night. They were weary, they were tired. But Jesus Christ would not give sleep to his eyes. Jesus Christ groaned, prayed. He was watchful. An account says that even blood, as he was groaning, blood even came out of him. He was watchful, prayerful, while the others slept. And while Jesus Christ was praying and watchful, he had contact with the heavenly body. So now just look at Jesus Christ here as a man right now, because he too had to escape the corruption that is in this world. He too had to be glorified. He too had to ascend. Just look at Jesus as a man. The only thing that Jesus had that the people of this world don't have is that Jesus Christ had a revelation. He knew that I am the Son of God. He knew that I came out of the Father and I go to the Father. Do you know that? Glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world of ignorance was. While praying, being watchful, Jesus Christ contacted with the heavenly host. When you see an angel appearing, see, an angel is a body. See, one angel appearing, you have the whole myriads of the body of Christ behind that angel, in that angel, speaking with that one voice. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. You come to a place where you, when you appear, the whole host of heaven appears with you. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus Christ contacted the body of God, and he was strengthened. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. He was strengthened by this messenger from above. If you are watchful in the night season, you will receive this contact, because this angel of God, this messenger of God, is always present. But men are deep asleep and they don't perceive the call of God. They don't perceive how God seeks to catch your attention. They're asleep. Job chapter 33 speaks about this. It says, in the night season, when deep sleep falls upon men, God seeks to pass instruction to man. God seeks to deliver man from the pit, from his life, from destruction. God seeks to raise up man from the realm of death, of the dead. But men rarely listen. Men are carried away. Carried away with this life here. Carried away with this world. With things that are not, that are coming to naught. Rarely do men listen. Rarely do men stay awake to contact that heavenly body. Praise God. If there be one messenger, if you can just receive from that messenger, you will be delivered from the pit of death. You will rediscover your glorious self. You will walk in the light of life. You shall rediscover the days of your youth. See, the days of your youth speak about, you know, the days from the beginning, when you walked without flaw as the morning star, when you walked in the perfection of God, when there was no pain, no sorrow. Hallelujah. If you can just contact that heavenly host, the same way Jesus did at the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll be transformed. Praise God. And what is the angel transforming, you know, transmitting to you? It's simply transmitting to you the vision of the body. See, it is causing you to be steady in the faith. He's causing you to awake back in the reality of your true light body. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Elisha was watchful. Elisha was watchful, and his watchfulness was what made him be able to see his master being taken away. Now, from the look of things, that thing must have happened in a split second, less than a second. So just a, you know, just the blinking of an eye, of the eye of Elisha, would have been enough for him to lose that, what he saw. Can you keep your eyes open? Can you put on a single eye to only behold the things of the Spirit? God give you grace. Be strong. Hallelujah. Be strong. Praise God. So Elisha beheld his master being taken away. And let us read what happens. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Let's stop there. Now, I just read 2 Kings from chapter 2, from verse 11. You see what Elisha actually, his eyes were opened. He was rewarded with that sight. He actually saw an allegorical view of the body of Christ. He saw you and I in Christ. He saw you and I in Christ from the beginning. Praise God. He was seeing the body of Christ. See, the chariot of God, the Father, and the horsemen thereof. He was seeing the church, the glorious church, which is the body of Christ, the body of God. Praise God. And you see, there is no way God can, you ever hear of God appearing without the body. And you can't hear of the body appearing without God, because they are one and the same thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. The moment we begin to understand that without Christ, there is no God. Without God, there is no Christ. They are one thing. They are inseparable. Praise God. The days come when you are waking to the reality that without God, there is no man, and without man, there is no God. God and man are the same thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. But of course, you can live as a man ignorant of this fact and suffer many things. So allegorically speaking, what the Spirit is trying to show us is that Elisha was beholding the body of Christ. And that was what he needed to be converted into that new man that he desired, that new man having a double portion of the anointing. In reality, as he beheld that body, he was gathered onto that body. The old Elijah died. See, that garment that he tore apart speaks about a dissolving, a destroying, a consummation of the old human self, the old human identity, which talks about a dissolving, a destruction of the old world, the old consciousness. All things are passed away. The garment was destroyed. No more at the sight of the truth. You shall know the truth. You shall see the truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth transforms you. It changes you. Praise God. He has come to give us an understanding that we may know him that is true. As we behold him, we are transformed into that same image. Or rather, we are waking into that same image. A renewal of the mind. We no longer see ourselves as just terrestrial men of the dust, but we now begin to see ourselves as that body of light, immaterial body of light that is from eternity. Father, Father, Father. Father, Father, Father. Oh, hallelujah. My Father, my Father, my Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. We are the horsemen of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the many angels and myriads of saints gathered unto that one body of God, and stand so throughout all eternity. It's a body that is closely interwoven. One. Many members, one body. United in one. divinely. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. They move in harmony. They flow in harmony. Oh, praise God. Let us behold this mystery of Christ. Let our eyes be open to behold this mystery. And you begin to walk in newness of life. You who think you are a drunkard, you discover that you are never a drunkard. Hallelujah. You who think that you are a glutton, you will discover that you are never a glutton. You who think that you are addicted to pornography, you are a sex maniac. You who think that you have a cancer, that you are sick. You who think that you are dying. You who think that you are alone, nobody loves you. All those things that you thought in the old, in the past, will dissolve as you begin to see the mystery of this body. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. As you see this mystery of this body, mortality is swallowed up with immortality. Because Elisha saw a body that is immortal, incorruptible. He saw a body that is a body of light. A body that does not change. A body that is not subject to the parameters of time and space. Elisha was seeing a pure spiritual body. He was seeing you and I, the real you and I. He was seeing us the way we are from the beginning of the world. As you see these things, you begin to be educated about your true self, your true nature. Do you think you are carnal? You think you have the dust? Praise, oh, hallelujah. Do you think that you are just nobody? Praise God. If you see this body, if you see this mystery, if your eyes are open to see the Christ, you understand the meaning of He heals all my diseases. He delivers my soul from the pit and crowns me with life. Praise God. Because when you begin to look in the inner man and see the inner man and understand your true nature, you understand that you can never be sick, you can never die. Praise God. And as you begin to see the inner man through the face of Jesus, you begin to be quickened once more. You begin to walk by the inner man, and life begins to be restored to you in every aspect, every area of your, every life, aspect of your life. You begin to, you know, be quickened. Hallelujah. So like Elisha, every man must see this mystery. If you see this mystery, then you will be gathered onto this mystery, and you become a partaker of that anointing without measure. See, Elisha asked for a double portion of the anointing, but we ask for the anointing without measure. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. With him dwells the anointing, the spirit without measure. John chapter 3, this is John the Baptist, in John chapter 3 verse 34. John chapter 3 verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. Are you listening? God giveth not the spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things. Has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Praise God. So you can see here about this spirit without measure. God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God dwells in the Son without measure. Today, ask for that anointing without measure. Ask for it. See, it is the Father's pleasure to give you. See, God wants every man to see the Son, believe in the Son, which means to walk in the sun, walk in this revelation light, because what you're actually seeing is yourself. You are seeing a mirror image of your true self, your true incorruptible immortal self, your true self who is not of this world. Praise God, because you are not terrestrial, you are not carnal, you are not a human being. You are God, Elohims, ones who live from eternity to eternity. See, we abide, like we just read in John chapter 3, verse 36. Anyone who abides outside this revelation, abides in the wrath of God. It's not as if God is punishing you, or it's not as if God is trying to torment you or to make things difficult for you. Rather, when you live outside, ignorant of your mysterious light body, your incorruptible self, when you live ignorant of this image that we just saw, you're actually living outside, in outer darkness, and you suffer many unnecessary hurts for nothing. Praise God. The transgression of Adam started to live outside this reality. And that is where the thorns begin to grow, where that is where you begin to sweat, suffer to make ends meet. That is when, tribulation takes a hold on you and you become a slave to corruption. Praise God. But thank God for the light today. And let us exercise ourselves to behold this mystery. Praise God. And when you behold this mystery, you don't just see yourself as a body of light. You don't just see yourself. You also see all the other inhabitants of the world in that same body. Because every man came out of that body that Elisha saw. Every man has that same invisible, incorruptible form. Every man has a part in Christ, in God. Every man. Doesn't matter how terrible he might manifest himself in this age. See it. The fact that that same light lighted every man that comes into this world has never changed. It never changes. See, every single man, your father, your brethren, your friends, somebody who molested you in the past, somebody who caused you a lot of pain, a lot of troubles in the past. See it. All these hurts that you've been harboring for years, you can be healed of it when you begin to see this mystery of Christ. See the mystery of the body. See the mystery of our origin in that one body of light. Praise God. You can now begin to learn to forgive. Praise God. You might not like what certain people do, but you can learn to still love them when you walk in this revelation light, when your eyes are open to see the body of Christ, because He's the one appearing in all men. Besides Him, there is no other one. If you can see me, you will get that double passion. If you can see me, you will be gathered onto that body. Elisha was gathered into that body. That is why later on in the scriptures, you see that when Elisha had problems with the enemies and his servant was there scared to death, worried on what they should do, a calm Elisha prayed God to open the eyes of his servant Gehazi to behold the innumerable company of chariots and horses that were, encircling them. See, because Elisha, allegorically speaking, was gathered to that body. So when we are gathered to that body consciously, we begin to have our peace. See, the things of this world can't affect us anymore. Nothing can tamper out your peace and your joy anymore. You are living in an elevated consciousness of the Christ, the Spirit. Praise God. So ask for that anointing. So ask for it and exercise yourself to see the Christ and the Christ alone, Because besides the Christ, there is no other. See the mystery, hallelujah, of the invisible one who fools all in all. Exercise yourself in these things. It is written that in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet, the dead are raised up. Oh, praise God. There is a change. Praise God. Where this consciousness of mortality that we put on in the transgression is dissolved, because with a single eye we have been able to see the truth once more. Praise God. And there's a transformation. There's an awakening. See it. From the man of the earth, the terrestrial man, the inglorious terrestrial man, back into the celestial man of the spirit. See it. But the eye must be single. See, it means a living, a forsaking, a losing, loss of everything that you ever gathered unto yourself as a man, to gain that which is celestial. Open your eyes and listen to what the voice is saying in this hour, and the double portion of the anointing is yours to stay. God bless you.
Will thunder abroad? Shall enhance those are waiting. We shall be hold. There things to face. We shall be. It shall be there's to faith, all of his glory. We shall be more than. Shall be. shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him there face to face.